Morning. Today's daf in Horios is Yud. We start today the third and final parak of the Masechta. The Mishnah begins. Kohen Mashiach Shechata. You have a Kohen Gadol who was Chote. And afterwards he was removed from his position. Could have been removed for a number of reasons. Tumah, old age, whatever the case is. But he's no longer the Kohen Gadol. So, V'chein Nasir Shechata. V'achakach Havar Migdulaso. Or you have a king who sinned and afterwards he was deposed. So, Kohen Mashiach may be Parva, Nasir may be Seir. So the Mishnah's point very simple, and that is the following. Because they sinned while being in that special status of being either a Kohen Gadol or a king, and we know, as we've been discussing over the course of this entire Masechta, they have a special Karban Chatas that they need to bring. The Kohen Gadol brings a part. The king brings a Seir, as opposed to a regular individual who brings either a female sheep or a female goat. So in both of these cases, they, since the chait occurred while they were in a state of gedula, so therefore the karma doesn't change even though they were deposed. But as long as the chait occurred while they were in a state of gedula, so the karma now is on the books for what they need to bring. The karma is a special karma. The karma will remain a special karma even after the point of being deposed.
How much time do they have between?
I mean, they're on the books to bring a karma. And they should bring it right away. But in the whenever they bring it, however, they're going to be bringing their special carbon, even though they're no longer Kohen Gadol or no longer a Nasi. The Mishnah then contrasts that with the following scenario: Mashiach she'aver Mashiach hasov ve'achakach chata, v'chein Nasi she'aver migdulasov ve'achakach chata. Let's have two scenarios in which same story: Kohen Gadol and a king that were deposed. But in these cases, the chait occurs after they were deposed. So in these cases, Kohen Mashiach may be par and Nasi kehejo. The Kohen Gadol is going to bring the special carbon of the Kohen Gadol, and the king is going to bring a carbon like a regular individual. He is a commoner, and therefore he brings the carbon like a commoner. Basically, what the Mishnah is teaching us is the following. When a Kohen Gadol is removed from office of being Kohen Gadol, he still has the status of a Kohen Gadol. Meaning that as a Kohen Gadol, even though now for whatever reason he was deposed, in other words, I say deposed, that usually is bad. But in other words, for whatever reason he was removed, still there remains a status of a Kohen Gadol with him. So if he sins even after he's no longer in office as Kohen Gadol, but because the status of Kohen Gadol remains with him, seemingly for the rest of his life, so then his carbon is going to be a par helam dover. I'm sorry, par helam dover. His carbon is going to be the par of a Kohen HaMashiach, and that will continue even after he's no longer formally in the position. Masha'en king, that's not true with a king. When a king is taken from office and he is now a commoner, he's a commoner. The status of king doesn't remain with him. And as a result of that, if he sins after becoming after being deposed from being the king, he brings the carbon like a regular individual. Hashi Yeshlamar, the Gemara starts off, we are on the very bottom of Testament base. Hashi Yeshlamar, Avram and Mashiach HaSov, Ve'achaka Chat, maybe Par, Chat, Chat of Achakach, Avram and Mashiach HaSov, Tzrich LeMeimar. The Gemara just for a moment says, let's focus on the Kohen Gadol and what we learned together in the Mishnah and the Kohen Gadol. We learned 2 points regarding the Kohen Gadol. Once I know the second point, the first point is obvious. What's the second point of the Mishnah regarding the Kohen Gadol? If he sins after he was removed from office, so he still has to bring the par, the special carbon par. If that's true after he was, if he sinned after removed from office, so if he sinned while he was in office, it goes without saying, it's a no-brainer. So once I have point number two, I don't need point number one anymore. And the Gemara says, you're right. Mishum diktan legami nasi, chiyavim nisiyasu v'achakach chata kehejo maisi. So ahachi tani gabi mashiach, chata v'achakach avar mevi par. The Gemara says, you're right. As far as the Kohen Gadol is concerned, point number two would have sufficed. However, we did like the contrast between the Kohen Gadol and that of a king. Meaning the king, here we have a chiddush. Because if I had point number two, I wouldn't necessarily know point number one. When it comes to a king, if he sinned while being a king, and then he was deposed, so the, still he brings the carbon of a king. If, however, he was deposed and then he sinned, so then he brings the carbon like a commoner, I wouldn't have gone to two from one, I wouldn't have gone from one to two. So since I needed the Mishnah to tell me the point regarding a king, agav orche, just by matter of contrast, so we're going to bring this, the 2 points by the Kohen Gadol, even though you're right. By the Kohen Gadol, once I know two, I'll certainly know number one. The Gemara says, now where is all the source from? The Gemara is going to quote drashas to arrive at these conclusions. Then Rabban, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. The Hikriv al Chataso. Pasuk says regarding the Kohen Gadol that he brings a carbon al Chataso in the Gemara Darshan. Malamit Shemevi Chataso, Misha Avar. He's still going to bring a carbon, his special carbon, his carbon par, Misha Avar, even after he was removed from office. Shiachav alo dinu. Now the Gemara says, now, had it not been for a drasha, here's what I would have thought. And here we go once again with the classic discussion of the brisas of what would our logic, when I say our logic, I mean using methodology of the Torah, kavachomers, etc., etc., what would we have thought had there not been a drasha? The Gemara says, well, let's consider. Let's start with a king. A king, in order for him to bring his carbon, all he needs is shigas maisa. Meaning, as we've been discussing throughout the duration of this mesechta, in order for a Kohen Gadol to bring a special carbon chatzas, he has to first have a hora'ah, he has to have a ruling, and he has to follow his own ruling. So in other words, there's helam davar and shigas maisa. As opposed to a king only requires shigas maisa. There just simply has to be an inadvertent action that was done. There doesn't have to be a hora'ah on the part of a king. So when it comes to a king, so for him to be obligated to bring this carbon doesn't take a lot, just shigeras maisa. So ein mevi chatos misha avar, and yet once he's removed from office, so he no longer brings this carbon. Now when it comes to a kohen gadol, it takes a lot more for him to bring the carbon. What does it take? It takes not only shigegas maisa, but it also takes alman davar. He first has to paskin, and then after he paskins, he has to follow his own psak. So it takes a lot more for him to bring a carbon. So now, lo kol shekein. So now the argument goes as follows. If for the king, who was once removed from office, no longer brings the carbon of a king, and it doesn't take much for the king to bring this carbon, for the kohen, now you can make a really strong argument that he too, once removed from office, doesn't bring a special carbon. Because for him to bring his carbon, it takes a lot more. It takes not only shigas maisa, it also takes alam davar as well. So lo kol shekein tamalamar vihi kriv achatasom lamitche mevi achatasom misha avar. And that's why I need the drasha. If it were just left for kavachomer, the argument would have been, the conclusion would have been, that a Kohen Gadol does not need to bring a special carbon if he sins after being removed from office. The drasha is telling us that when a Kohen Gadol is removed from office, he still has a quasi-status of a Kohen Gadol. I should take out the word quasi. In other words, he still has the status of a Kohen Gadol, and therefore, he is going to be bringing the carbon as a Kohen Gadol, even though he was removed from office. Menaisi nami nasi, mikavachomer. So the Gemara says, okay, so now I know the conclusion that a Kohen Gadol brings his special carbon even after he was removed from office and even after he sinned after being removed from office. So the Gemara says, now let's go in the other direction. Let's now use the Kal V'Chomer towards the king. Ma Mashiach she'ein mevi b'shigas maisa, mevi chatas misha avar. Nasi she'mevi chatas b'shigas maisa, ein odin she'mevi chataso misha avar. So here now the argument goes like this. For a Kohen Gadol, it takes a lot for him to bring his carbon. Again, it requires both a psak, a hora'ah, and on top of that also shigas maisa. And we know that if he does so, if he sins after being removed from office, he needs to bring a special, he's still going to bring a special carbon par for the king. Where for him to bring his carbon chatas, you only need shigas maisa. So can you make the argument? If for the Kohen Gadol, who requires more to get to the carbon, and still he brings the special carbon after being removed from office, so can we say the same thing regarding a king? Takes less for him to bring the carbon, meaning just shigas maisa, so shouldn't we now make the argument, the Kal V'Chomer, that he should be bringing the special carbon even after he was removed from office? So the Gemara says, Asher nasi yecheta, kishu nasi in, kishu hejolo. So the Gemara says, you're right, the Kal V'Chomer would have been a good Kal V'Chomer. But now we have a drasha. And the drasha teaches us that he only brings this special carbon when sinning while in office. We continue now with the Mishnah. We're on Yud Amud Aleph. We're at the Mishnah towards the top of the Amud. Chatu Ashalos Nisnabnu. Now we're going to go in the other direction. In other words, the first Mishnah tackled the issue of what happens after the removal from office. Now we're going to be talking about going into office with sins, with chatayim. So we'll talk again about the Kohen Gadol, and we'll talk about the Melech. Chatu Ashalos Nisnabnu. Let's say they sin before going into office. And then and now they were appointed. So they are like a hedjot, meaning that they're going to be bringing the regular carbon, meaning the sins that they have now going into office. So they sinned while they were a commoner, so therefore they bring a carbon like a commoner, like you and I would. So they bring either a female goat or a female sheep, but they're not going to bring the special carbon of either a nasi or a kohen gadol. And the reason why is simple. It's simple because at the time when they sinned, they were a commoner. So the carbon now gets logged in at the time of the chait, and not even though they received an appointment, that's not going to affect their carbon. Rabbi Shimon Omer, im no de lahem achelon isnamnu chayavim, mishnamnu peturim. Shitas Rabbi Shimon. Now, it happens to be that we already touched on Shitas Rabbi Shimon earlier in the Masechta, but here we now, this is the Mishnah, we get to see the opinion inside, in the original, in the Mishnah, and that is as follows. Rabbi Shimon says, in order to get logged into a karban, you need two things to occur. One, the actual chet itself, obviously, but also yediyas hachet, you also have to become aware of the chet. Meaning, obviously, because it's shogeg, at the time when you sinned, you didn't know it was a sin. That's the whole point of a shogeg. Meaning, at the time, you didn't realize it was wrong. Had you realized, you wouldn't have done it. But then, obviously, at a later point in time, there has to be a idea. In other words, you have to now have become aware of, oh, no. Oh, that's what I did. Oh, and that was right. So, in other words, there is a chet and there's the idea. Rabbi Shimon says, in order to get the carbon logged in, to get locked in, so Rabbi Shimon says, you need both. You need both the actual chet itself, and you need the idea at the time when he was a commoner, before his appointment. If, however, you have the chet before the appointment, and the idea after the appointment, so Rabbi Shimon says, no carbon. No carbon. Not a commoner's carbon, because you didn't have the chet and the idea while he was a commoner. Not the special carbon, because you had the idea after the appointment, but you didn't have the chet after the appointment. So for Rabbi Shimon, you need two things to occur during one kufa, during one period, and then and only then is he going to be chayv karban. And then, I've gotten this question a lot lately. Well, what does that mean to say that he brings no karban? What about, you know, what about the kapara? My answer has been classically throughout, I don't know. Meaning, it's one of those situations that it basically falls through the crack, according to Rabbi Shimon, no karban to bring, and I you know, as far as the kapara is concerned, I don't know. Eizu Nasi. Mishnah asks a funny question. It's not a funny question, but if you think about it, it's correct in that the Torah never identifies what a Nasi is. We know a Nasi is a leader, but the word leadership, however, can be used, you know, in many different circumstances. So when we say Nasi vis-a-vis the special carbon that the Torah is addressing in the fourth parak of Vayikra, what Nasi are we talking about? Are we talking about the Nasi of a Shevet? Are we talking maybe about the Nasi of a community? Meaning, when we say Nasi over here, what do we mean? So the Mishnah speaks very clearly about what the definition of Nasi is vis-a-vis this carbon. Ezu Nasi Zehamelech. Nasi over here means the king. Meaning, and any other leadership positions vis-a-vis this halacha is not subject to the special carbon. How do I know that? Shenemar? Because if you read the Pasuk, I'm going to be reading more of the Pasuk than the Mishnah quotes. Asher Nasi Yecheta, the Asa Achas, and now we look at the Mishnah. Mikol Mitzvos Hashem Elokav. So what do we see? Mikol Mitzvos Hashem Elokav. Hashem is above him. And that's the only one that's above him. Meaning, he is above everybody else. The Gemara Darshans. Ein al gabav ela Hashem Elokav. Meaning, who does he answer to? The only one he answers to is the Kadosh Baruch Hu. In other words, so no one else is above him, meaning he is the king. The head of the Jewish people. On the top. Amenahan Emili. The Gemara starts off with the discussion, how do I know? Again, now we're talking about, in this Mishnah and in this Sugya, we're talking about Chataim going into his appointment. So, Amenahan Emili, how do I know? Ima Kohen HaMashiach, I'm sorry, Tanu Rabban, the Gemara quotes the Braisa. Ima Kohen HaMashiach Yecheta. So, if the Kohen Gadol were to sin, Prat Kodmos, that means to say that it excludes any sins going into his Kohen Gadol. Meaning those chataim are going to be, he's going to be bringing the regular carbon. That is the brisa that explains the shita of the Tanakama. Pratla Kodmos. Valodinhu, and once again, here we go with another round of what would we have thought had there not been a drasha, had there not been a pasuk. Valodinhu, manasi shemevi, bishigas maisa. Again, we're going to work with the following argument. For a king to get to his carbon, all it needs is shigas maisa. It's not a lot to get to his carbon, just an action. And so, ein mevi al hakodmos, and we know with a king, so he doesn't, any chataim that he goes into his office with, into his appointment, he's not going to bring a carbon for. Mashiach she'ein mevi ela al halamdavar im shigas maisa, ein odin shalo yavi al hakodmos. So when it comes to a Kohen Gadol, so it's a no-brainer. Because consider that for the Kohen Gadol to get to his carbon, shigas maisa is not enough. You need shigas maisa with halam davar, meaning you need a horah and you need a shigas maisa. So if a king does not bring a special carbon for pre-existing chataim, so for a Kohen Gadol who takes a lot more to get this carbon, alachas kama v'kama. Lo. So the Gemara says, I'm not buying that argument, I'll tell you why. Because consider now, well, look, what did we learn in the previous sugya regarding a king? After being deposed from his position, after being removed from his position, he falls all the way back to being a commoner. However, when it comes to the Kohen Gadol, it's not true. Meaning a Kohen Gadol removed from his position, Kohen Gadol is still going to have the status of Kohen Gadol. And still going to bring his carbon as a Kohen Gadol. So, ho, maybe chataso, misha avar. So, yavo, ala kodmos. So now, the Gemara says, now we could build a different argument regarding Kohen Gadol. Since a Kohen Gadol is going to be bringing a special carbon post-appointment, after being removed from his position. So now I can make the argument that for the Kohen Gadol, unlike the king, maybe he should bring his karbanos even going into his appointment as well. So Tamalamar Mashiach Yecheta Chata Kishu Mashiach maybe Kishu Hejot Eno maybe, and that's why I need a special drasha. So the Gemara says that without a drasha, you could have constructed an argument that the Kohen Gadol should bring a special karban, the par, even for those pre-existing sins before his appointment. Since he's bringing the special carbon post-appointment, so maybe he should be bringing the special carbon pre-appointment as well. That's the argument. And the drasha is coming to dispel that argument. Tanyanami gabi nasi ki ay gavna. So, and the Gemara says, now we're going to do the same thing. We're going to have the same kind of drasha regarding a king. Asher nasi yecheta. The pasuk says that when a king sins, prat kodmos. In other words, and that excludes pre-existing sins going into his appointment. Right, Valo Dinu. And here we go once again. Round three for today. Of what we could have argued had there not been a drasha. Uma Mashiach Shemevi Chatoso Misha Avar Eino Mevi Al Kodmos. Now, when it comes to a Kohen Gadol, as we've already established, so he's going to bring a special par for sins even post-appointment. And yet we know regarding the Kohen Gadol, we've already established it, that he does not bring the special karban for sins that were pre-appointment. So Nasi Shem Evi Chataso Mishaver Eino Din Shelo Yavi Ala Kodmos. So now when it comes to the king, so now the argument should be a no-brainer, because we know that he's not going to bring the special karban of his seir post-appointment, so therefore he for sure is not going to bring a karban pre-appointment as well. The Gemara says, Ma L'Mashiach Shekein Ein Mevi B'Shigas Maisa. So Tomer Benasi Shemevi B'Shigas Maisa. But once again, what's the counter-argument? The counter-argument is, yeah, but it takes a lot for a Kohen Gadol to bring a karban. He needs a Hora and Shigas Maisa. However, when it comes to a king, he doesn't. He only needs the Shigas Maisa. Ho Mevi B'Shigas Maisa Yavi Af Al Kodmos. So when it comes to a king, since the threshold to get to the karban is a lower threshold, he just needs Shigas Maisa. So therefore, you can make the argument that he should be bringing the carbon even for sins that are pre-appointment. So Tamalamar Shenasi Yecheta Shechata Varei Hunasi Velo Shechata Vodeo Hejot. So again, so now we have a drasha. So in other words, we could make arguments in either direction. The drasha tells us very clearly that for the nasi, he only brings a special carbon only while sinning, while in office. Okay. Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara quotes
after the king dies, like none of his property is reclaimed.
Okay, and so
sort of extend their status, like in a way.
Right. Could be. But in terms of the karbanos, the Gemara here is very clear. The Mishnah is very clear. Tana Rabbanan, Asher Nasi Echeta. Now, the Gemara over here is going to turn its attention to the formulation of the Torah. The Torah, when describing the Nasi sinning, opens up with a really strange word. Asher Nasi Yecheta. Now, generally speaking, when the Torah speaks, especially when talking about a Karban Chatas, the Torah opens up with the words in, if. Why? Because there's something which is fundamental to all of us, and that's what's called free choice. Meaning, the Torah never instructs us to sin. In fact, the Torah doesn't want us to sin. But who is it up to? It's up to you and me. Meaning, we have free will. So whenever the Torah describes the Karban Chatas, generally speaking, it opens up with the words in, which means if, because it's up to us. We can make the decision. When the Torah opens up with a king, the Torah says, Asher Nasi Yecheta, which literally translates as, when he sins. Because in other words, we're kind of expecting it. That's unusual, that's strange. Why would the Torah do that? So, Yachol Gzera. So, based on the formulation of the Torah, the Gemara has now an unbelievable Havamina. Yachol, I might have thought Gzera. Meaning that sometimes it's out of the control of the king. Sometimes he's going to have to sin. You think about it, by the way, the king, who is a leader of the people and is directing world events and world history. So sometimes, right, I think this way. Sometimes, in other words, he acts with forces that are so strong that sometimes he's put in positions where that's just how it's going to have to be. Meaning, and we also have psukim that seem to indicate also that HaKadosh Baruch Hu in making world history and in directing world history, so sometimes he has to function through the king. Sometimes, in other words, I'm just strengthening the Havamin of the Gemara. Sometimes the king acts in a way in which he's got no choice, but this is what he's got to do.
So, the Mishnah doesn't mention the word Melech, the king, as opposed to Nasi. What's the Nasi? Is
Nasi, tribe. Nasi just simply means someone who's elevated. Literally, the word Nasi means elevation. Right. Mm-hmm. That's why the Mishnah had to clear that up.
Maybe because we only have one concept of king, and that's Hashem.
Right. Okay. But in this context, right. But Danny's right though. Nasi in other areas in Chumash refer to a tribal leader, and it could even extend beyond that. So okay. So anyway. So Yachol Gzera. So that's the Havamin. The Havamin is that when the Torah describes the carbon of a king, it says Asher. Nasi Yachata. So the Gemara says that's a Havamin. Yachol Gzera Tamalamer Imakoin Mashiach Yachata. Malahalan. The Gemara says, "Yeah, but by the Kohen Gadol." So the Kohen Gadol, the Torah says clearly, "Im a Kohen Mashiach Yecheta." So we're going to deduce, just like by the Kohen Gadol, it was an option, it was his choice. Same thing is true regarding the king as well. Amar, the Gemara says, "Yachol Gzera." So again, the Gemara now is going to go back to the Havamina, and so Gzera Meichitei. So the Gemara says, "Where would you have thought that? Meaning, under what basis would you have thought that?" Amrian, the Gemara says, "What do you mean? Why would I have thought that?" Sure, I would have thought that. Ashkechan, Dichsiv. And the way Rashi explains the Gemara's question, Mehechi Tesi. Rashi, Klomar, I'm reading the Rashi. Gzera Mehechi Tesi, Rashi on the right hand column. Mehechi Tesi, Klomar. Hechi Matzisla Memer Yachol Gzera. The Hechi Ashkechan Gzera Ki Agavna. Where does God decree such things? Meaning that a person's going to sin. Meaning what bothers the Gemara, according to Rashi, is that the Torah does not forecast and demand that someone sin. Meaning there is an eventuality that somebody's going to sin. Maybe. But for the Torah to demand such a thing to occur, mehechi tesi, where does that come from? So the Gemara says, what do you mean? So in Ashkechan menasati neged saras bebeis achuzaschem, consider that there are three forms of saras. One is that affects the individual, the other affects his clothing, and the third that affects his house. And the Torah, when opening up the discussion regarding, not opening up, but when the Torah describes Nige Batim, the Torah says, V'nasati neget saras beveis eretz achuz aschem. It's going to happen. So, Besura hi lahem, shenigayim bayim alayim. It's going to happen, says the Torah. Elu div Rav Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rav Yehuda. Now, obviously, we all know the Rashi. Meaning, the Rashi over there in Chumash says, it's really good news, because what's going to end up happening is we're going to have to destroy the house and we're going to uncover treasures that were hidden by the Kananim under the house. Okay, so, with every, the silver lining to the dark cloud. Okay, but that's Rashi and Chumash, and not to diminish it at all. But in other words, in the context of our Gemara, the Gemara over here is just looking at the fact that the Torah is forecasting that this is going to happen. And obviously it's a bad thing. It's not a good thing. So you're telling me that the Torah never forecasts bad things to happen. The Torah is telling us that there's going to be tzaras that affects the house. Also, just one other point to consider. Gemara elsewhere says that three mitzvahs in the Torah never occurred. Of those three mitzvahs that never occurred, one of them is negayim on a house. So, just another thing to throw into the hopper in terms of just thinking about this Gemara. But anyway, so div Rabbi Yehuda, that's the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Shimon Omer, prala negayon, and Rabbi Shimon says, that what the Torah is telling us is that in order for the tzaras of a house to be considered tzaras, it has to come naturally. If it comes bederech ones, if it comes unnaturally, so then literally against our will, so that doesn't qualify as negayim. What that means, hold that thought for just a moment. We're going to come back to the shita of Rabbi Shimon in just a moment. But anyway, let's go back to Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Yehuda says that in order for a tzaras, by nigei batim, the Torah tells us that it's going to happen. So lav amar Rabbi Yehuda, besura hachanami ema gzerihi. So the Gemara says, so now that you have the sheet of Rabbi Yehuda, the Torah does say that there's going to be Negayim in the house. So is it outlandish now to suggest that the king is going to sin? Could be. That's why the Torah has to go out of its way and tell us, no, it's im. It is not expected to happen, but if it were to happen. Okay, so now, if that's true, so the, I'm sorry, Hilchah Ksivim, period. Now, Ula Rabbi Shimon, the Gemara says, now let's go back to Rabbi Shimon, Nige Onsen Milo Metamu, Vatanya, the Gemara says, now Rabbi Shimon says that if it's Nige Onsen, so it does not give off tuma. It does not have the status of tzaras. So the Gemara says, Vatanya, but what about the following? Adav ki yiyeh min hadibor ve'elech. The Torah describes that when a person is a menuga, that is only min hadibor ve'elech. That's only from Mamon Har Sinai, Kabbalah HaTorah, and onward. So the halodinu, the Gemara says, now let's consider the following. So, timei bizav v'timei b'negayim. In other words, we know that there are different types of tumah. There is tumah that comes because the person is a zav, meaning he has the discharge coming out of him. And there's also tumah regarding a nega. Mazav min adibur ve'elech. So, af negayim min adibur ve'elech. So, the Gemara says, so we know when it comes to a zav, it is only from Matan Torah and onward. Same thing is true regarding negayim. It's only from Matan Torah and onward. So, lo. Imamart bizav, the Gemara says, no. That logical leap is not a leap that we can make. When it comes to a zav, imamar bezav, shekein ein metame ba'ones. Tame b'negayim shemetame ba'ones. The Gemara says, and I'll tell you why we can't make that leap. Because when it comes to zav, we know it is one of the basic principles regarding a zav, and that is, a person's discharge is only registered as ziva, as something that will make him tame, only if it comes out naturally. Not something that was forced upon him. Shekein ein metame ba'ones. But when it comes to tzaras, tzaras is going to have the status of tzaras and is going to be a source of tumah, whether it comes out beratzon or beones. So tamalamar adam ki yiyeh min adibur ve'elach, and that's why I need an additional drasha when it comes to tzaras. What have we just learned together? That when it comes to tzaras, it is a source of tumah, whether it comes out beratzon or even if it comes beones. So, question. Shitas Rabbi Shimon that we learned in the previous brace that told us that when I have the negayim that come, be'ones, it's not a nige batim. It is not tzaras on a house. We have just learned together that's not true. That when it comes to tzaras, afila be'ones, it is in fact going to be a source of tumah. So Rava Amar, so the Gemara is going to give a couple suggestions. Rava Amar, pratla nige ruchos. Meaning, there is no stira between the shita of Rabbi Shimon and the brisa. The brisa itself is when it talks about the ones, so that is talking about an ones that occurs through, the brisa says that says that an ones is going to be metame is talking about where it comes about through a fall or somebody hit him or a burn. So those kinds of tzaras that were not something that you yourself did, but was done to you. Meaning, let's say, for example, one of the examples of tzaras that affects a person is a burn. In other words, a person gets burned, and in the burn mark there's a certain discoloration that matches the description of the Torah. Such an individual is a mitzora, even though it came on the individual. In other words, he didn't do anything in order to elicit that. Such a tzaras is in fact a tzaras, even though that is ba'ones. So that is what the Brisa was describing. On the other hand, Rabbi Shimon, when he says prat l'nigei onsin, meaning that if it's ones, it's not going to be affected, that's something which comes through ruchos. Literally, that means the winds. Rashi over here understands this meaning as like a form of shadim. Meaning if it was something that was conjured up by spiritual forces, by shadim, so that it does not have the status of tzaras and will not make the person tummy. Rav Papa amar prat l'nigei kshafim. Similar approach of Rav Papa, if it comes to kisha, if it comes to magic and witchcraft and sorcery, so that does not have the status of tuma, masha enkin, if it comes about through natural means, so that's going to have tuma. Okay, similar approaches. But in other words, there's no steer between the opinion of Rabbi Shimon and the brisa that we learned together. Okay, we go back to the point that the Gemara makes regarding the Nasi. Tana Rabbanan, the brisa continues, Ashir Nasi, Yecheta, when the Nasi sins. Prat l'chola. And that means to say that if he becomes sick, and as a result of an illness, he is going to be removed from office. We'll explain that better in just a moment. So under those circumstances, he is not bring a special carbon. So Mishum Da'av l'chola, Yitzchel le'minisiyo say, Gemara asked the question right away. I don't understand. He has a cold. He has an illness. That means that he's going to be removed from office. Amar Rav Avdimi Barchama Pralan Nasvi Shnitzara. You're right. If it's a cold, if it's a flu, it's not easy. He's still good, the king. When is the king removed from office? Saras. Saras is going to remove the king from office. How do I know that? The Gemara quotes it, bases it regarding psukim regarding Melech Uziyahu. Melech Uziyahu, one of the kings of Yehuda. So he tried to do the following. He tried not only to be the king, we didn't try to be the king, he was the king, but on top of that, he also wanted to be Kohen as well. Meaning, he wanted to blend the offices of the monarchy and the kahuna. And that you're not allowed to do. We know later history, there were a group of people who did that in the other direction. Meaning, there was a group of Kohanim who took on the position of being king. That's called the Chashmonaim. That was during the Second Temple. Here, we're going in the other direction. During the First Temple, so Uziyahu, who was a king, also wanted to be the Kohen as well. And he made an attempt to be Makter Ketores, to offer incense in the base of Mikdash. As a result of that, the pasuk says, we're reading from Malachim Beis, Vayinaga Hashem as HaMelech, Vayimitzor Ad Yomaso, HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave him Negaim, plagued him, literally, Nega over here means Saras, and he was a Mitzor until the day of his death, Vayeshev Bebeis HaChavshis, Vayosem Ben HaMelech HaLabayis, and he was placed in the Beis HaChavshis. It's a great expression, and we're going to explain that better in a second. Yosem Ben HaMelech HaLabayis, and the king, and his son Yosem, now takes over as being king. Meaning you see clearly over here that once you have Saras as a king, that's it. You're immediately removed from office, and his son now took over right there and then. Look at the Rashi over here, Vayesha Bevesa Chavshitz. And he was placed in the house of freedom. What does that mean, placed in the house of freedom? Rashi, Nase Chavshi, and Rashi's on the left-hand column. Rashi, Nase Chavshi min Amalchus. He became free from being king. Meaning king is being a king is being shackled. You are a slave when you're a king. Rashi writes, the last point of Rashi is not the one I wanted to focus on. The first point of Rashi I wanted to focus on. Rashi says, "Nafsi chavshim en amalchus," meaning that when you're no longer the king, you become now, that's freedom. Meaning, as a king, you are a slave, you're a servant. In other words, we have the expression in here in English. You're a public servant. Rashi over here basically is saying that. Meaning, as a king, you are a servant, you are a slave to the people. And when Uziyahu was removed from being king, he is now placed in the Beis HaChavshi, meaning now he's a free man. He's no longer a public servant. Back to the Gemara. So, the Gemara basically says it. Meaning, by virtue of the fact that it says it was placed in Beis HaChavshis, that means that up until this point in time, he was an Eved. And so, in other words, being in a position of being a leader, in this case, a monarch, a king, so you are an Eved. So, but what we established over here is that once you're removed from that position, a removal from that position can come about through an illness, but specifically through Saras. And the Gemara now would like to make this point again via a story. Great story of the Gemara in terms of how it is that when you assume a position of leadership, you basically become a servant. Ki ha, the Gemara says, just like the following. So here we have another encounter with Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua. They were the best of friends and sometimes not so. But over here, this is clearly the story represents a point of friendship, I think. Well, anyway, you'll be the judge. Let's go through the story. But how did the Rabbi Gamliel have Rabbi Gamliel and Rabbi Yoshua have a azul b'sfinasa? So the two of them were on a journey together. They were on a boat. But how did the Rabbi Gamliel have a pizza? Now Rabbi Gamliel brought food for himself, brought some bread, right, pita. And but how did Rabbi Yeshua have a pizza v'sulta? Rabbi Yeshua had more than just pizza; he also had flour as well. So that in the event that he runs out of the bread, he has flour, he can make more bread. Now, Shalom Pita de Rabban Gamliel. The bread of Rabban Gamliel ran out, meaning the trip went longer than anticipated. Rabban Gamliel now runs out of food. Samach Hasulta de Rabbi Yoshua. So Rabbi Yoshua, who brought the flour as well, so he made some more bread, shared it together with Rabban Gamliel. Amar Lei, mi avayada davalan ikuva kolehai. Rabban Gamliel says to Rabbi Yoshua, how did you know? How did you know the trip was going to go longer than anticipated? So the Isa Sulte, that you brought flour. Amar Lei kol chavechal shim shana ola. So he describes over here a star that comes once every 70 years. Yes, it could be something like Halley's Comet. So a star that comes once every 70 years. Umata es hasapanim. And I know that it takes the sailors for a total loop as they're looking towards the star's forward direction. And here comes a star that only appears once every 70 years, which quite frankly, in terms of the chances of this happening, are pretty slender. But Amarti Shema Yala Viyata Osano. He says, but it's about that time. So I figure now that this may take the captain for a loop, and he may detour as a result of the star. So Amar Le Kol Kach Biyadecha. So Rabbi Gamliel says to Rabbi Yeshua, you are a brilliant man. Meaning for you to think about this, and for you to bring extra flour in anticipation of the trip getting detoured and rerouted because of this star, it's just brilliant. And you brought extra flour just in case, you're a brilliant man. Ata Ola Bisfina. And meanwhile, look what you're doing now. You're on a boat, you're traveling in order to make business for yourself, for your family. Meaning, you should be in yeshiva. You should be the head of the yeshiva. So Amar Lei, I know. Based on other incidents, this exchange is rather amazing. So Amar Lei, Acha Ata Tamei Alai. So Rabbi Yoshua says, look, don't worry about me. Meaning, as far as what I do to make up parnasa, don't worry about me. But Tama Al Shnei Talmidim Sheyesh Lecha Biyavasha. But Rabbi Yoshua says to Rabbi Gamliel, you have two students, Rabbi Lazar Chisma, Rabbi Yochanan Ben Gudgada. I know about their brilliance, of two of your students. They can tell you how many drops there are in the ocean. And I know that they're living in absolute poverty. So basically what Rabbi Yoshua is saying to Rabbi Gamliel, let me give you a tip. I'm doing okay. Financially, I'll make it. But you have two of your students who are not making it. And meanwhile, if you gave them positions, if you gave them both a position, elevated their position a little bit, they will then become leaders. As a leader, so it is the responsibility of the congregation to support them. So if you did that, so they wouldn't be living in the kind of poverty they're living. Nasandata lo shivam. Rabbi Gamliel got the hint. So now, on that boat ride, he made a decision, a conscious decision, Nasandata lo shivam barosh. So he now made a conscious decision that when he gets back to land, and he meets up with the students, he's going to give both of them an appointment. Kisha Allah. Rabbi Gamliel comes back. Shalach Lahem. So he sends a letter to the two of them. Basically, meet me in my office. Velobo. However, the two of them did not come. Now, even as we go through the story, it's a little bit difficult to understand. He's Rabban Gamliel. He's a leader. And he's calling them in for a meeting and they're refusing to come. But as it will become clear from the story, they knew why they're being called in, and that's why they refused to come. But even as we know that, it's still a little bit difficult to understand. But anyway, v'loba they didn't come. Chazav v'shalach ubao. A second time he calls, and apparently one time you get a pass, you don't get a second pass. So they come. Amalem kemedum ematem sheshra ani nosen lachem. So he says, I know what you're thinking. You guys are thinking that I'm giving you an appointment. So, but don't think it's really an appointment. It's something that'll make you great. Avdus anino sein lachem. I'm basically making you servants. You are going to become public servants. You will become a slave to the people. So, in other words, it's you're quote unquote humbly you're humbly declining the position. I'm not giving you something that makes you greater. I'm giving you something with more responsibility. You'll become a public servant. Shenemer v'idaber elav lemor, imayom tiyeh eved la'am hazeh. Gemara quotes the pasuk. This is regarding Rechavam, and the pasuk says that you should know imayom tiyeh eved la'am hazeh. You should become a slave to the people. Parenthetically, by the way, in this little section of Navi, right, the Malachim Aleph. This is the 12th perek. So Rechavam was grappling with the question of, it's amazing, right, really, how it's an age-old question. Tax the people, not tax the people. Raise taxes or lower taxes. And so in his mind, he's thinking raise taxes because it's more money for him. More money for him, and he feels he'll be a better leader. However, he justified it. And he seeked advice, and the advisor said to him, no, don't misunderstand this. You're a slave to the people. You're a servant to the people. Right? Don't think that raising taxes is a method to go. You should lower taxes. Anyway, postscript, he raised the taxes, and second postscript, the kingdom split into two, the northern kingdom and the southern kingdom. In other words, he didn't listen to the advisement and devastating ramifications. Okay, we go on in the Gemara. Tana Rabbanan. The Gemara quotes the Braisa. We're on the top of Yodam and Beis. Asher Nasiyah Chetam Rav Yochanan Zakkai. So now, once again, for a third time this morning, we're focusing on the word Asher. Strange formulation of the Torah, right? That not when he sins, but he will in fact sin. What does that mean, Asher? So here we get another approach to the Asher. Amar Rav Yochanan Zakkai, Asher Ador Shanasi Shalom Evi Karban Al Shegagaso. Asher over here is the same language as Ashrei. Thank God. Fortunate is a people where the king were to sin, and his response is, hey, I made a mistake. I'm going to bring a carbon chatas. That's the kind of king we want. And if this is the behavior of the king, so you can imagine, the king operates with such humility where not only does he sin, he acknowledges that he sinned. He brings the carbon that he sins, so the rest of us are going to follow in suit. And the im al shigazo may be carbon sarachat alamar maus dono. And if this is how he responds to a shogeg, where you could just simply say, look, it was an honest mistake, okay, I won't do it again. But in other words, no, he takes it seriously. He brings the carbon chatas. So can you imagine if he sinned intentionally, meaning he'll own up to it, he'll respond to it. So again, this is the kind of thing where Ashrei, we should all be fortunate if we have such a leader. Maskev l'rava v'rei d'rava. Elamiata, the Gemara says, Dichsiv. So you're telling me that when you see the word Asher, it means Ashrei. He says, look, I'll quote other Pesukim. Dichsiv es Asher Chatam in a Kodesh Yishalem. The Pesuk in the next parak in Vayikra, where it talks about the Yisr Me'ila. Asher Chatam in a Kodesh Yishalem. If you misappropriate from Hekdesh, you have to pay back. Asher, who's fortunate over there? When we're talking about misappropriation of temple funds. And Yeravam ben Nevat. When the Torah describes Yeravam, the first leader of the Malchi Yisrael, it says Asher. And not only did he sin, but he caused other people to sin. Who's fortunate over there? Yeah, and the people are happy that they have such a leader. So the Gemara says, you're right. Asher doesn't always mean Ashrei. However, Shani Hachad Shani Krabi Dibure. But here, if you look in the fourth parak, where we discuss the carbon of the Kohen Gadol, of the Sanhedrin, of the Nasi, you will see it keeps saying im, and then when you get to the Nasi, it says Asher. So the Torah clearly over here is changing its language in order to encrypt this idea that Asher over here means Ashrei.
When is the example of Asher Shibartha as an example of
That was right. The Gemara says over there, Yashir.
But you got the example.
Okay, good, very good. Cooking. Darush Rav Nachman Bar Chisa Ma'idichsev. The pasuk says Yesh Hevel Asher Nase Al Aris. The pasuk in Koheles describing something which seems to us to be just Hevel. It's a vanity. It's just something that is unexplained. It's senseless. And the pasuk goes on to describe. I'm just reading more of the pasuk. Asher yeshadikim, asher magia aleim kamasi rishayim. Yesh rishayim shemagia aleim kamasi tzadikim. You'll see a rasha, and he seems to be enjoying the world like a tzadik. You see a tzadik, and he's suffering in this world like a rasha. In other words, the age-old question of tzadik v'ra lo, right? Rasha v'tov lo. And the Gemara goes on to explain now. In the pasuk, you have the asher once again. I know the Gemara doesn't quote it, but I'm sorry, the Gemara does. Yesh hevel asher. So there you have the word Asher, and again, in the context of Ashrei, so the Gemara opens up the following suggestion. Ashreim letzadikim shemagia aleim kamaseh rishayim, sha'olam haba ba'olam hazeh. Fortunate are the tzadikim that receive maseh rishayim of what happens to the rishayim in this world, I'm sorry, to them in this world, to the tzadikim in this world, meaning that they're going to be suffering in this world. So, oylam l'rishayim shemagia aleim kamaseh tzadikim sholam haba b'olam hazeh. And to the rishayim, well, they're going to get what the tzadikim get in olam haba in this world. So, amar rav atu tzadiki yach li trei ama misani lu. So the Gemara says, I don't understand. For a tzadik, it's loathsome to HaKadosh Baruch Hu that he should, yes, he's going to get reward in olam haba, but HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want him to suffer, doesn't want him to get some sort of benefit in this world. He has to suffer in this world. So Allah Maravas the Ravas says, so let's tweak it just a little bit. Asher Masadikim Shem Magia Alain Kamasa Rishaim Shalom Hazah, ba'olam hazeh. Fortunate for the tzaddikim who receive ma'aser b'shem sholam hazeh in this world. Meaning, look, the tzaddik, he's going to get olam haba. That's a lock. And he, you know what? He'll be fortunate also if in this world he also gets a little bit of a benefit, a little bit of a breather as well. And olam l'rishayim shemagia aleim k'masa tzaddikim sholam hazeh ba'olam hazeh. And for the rishayim, for them to get benefit in this world, that's oy lahem. That's woe. Meaning, because they're not getting olam haba, and woe to them if on top of that they also don't get benefit in this world as well. Okay, Rav Papa, Rav Huna, Bered, Rav Yeshua, also coming to Rava. Two Amoraim coming from the Rava. Amar Lahu, Ukimta Masechta Plan. Did you learn the following Masechta? Masechta Plan. Did you learn the following Masechta? Amar Lahin. They said, yeah. Yeah, well, in other words, we're prepared, we're ready to come to yeshiva. Right? In other words, you go to yeshiva to learn, and then and sometimes you need to prepare to go to yeshiva. In other words, depends on the yeshiva. But anyway, so I true porta. How about money? You guys have a little bit of money? So, right, nothing's changed in the last couple thousand years. Okay? Would like to know, not only are you knowledgeable, but do you have any means as well? So, Amrlein, they said, yeah, well, we have a little bit of money as well. Dezavin Katina Dara. We purchased a little bit of land. We own a little bit of real estate. Okay, we got a little bit of money as well. So, Kari Alehu, so now, not only were they prepared spiritually, in other words, they had Masechtas prepared, they also were prepared financially, and to which he said, Ashreim of Sadiqim, Shemagi Alem, Kamaster, Rishem, Shabalamazeh, Balamazeh, Ashreichem. Meaning, not only are you Sadiqim who are locked in for Olam Haba, but on top of that, you also have a little bit of Olam Haza as well. Good for you guys. Amar Rabba Barbachan, Amar Rav Yochanan, my dichtzir, the Pasuk says, Kisharim, Darche Hashem, Sadiqim, Yachumam, Aboshim, Yikashlu Bam. Pasuk in Hosea. We say this parak in Hosea a number of times over the course of Haftorahs. Where we repeat this parak in Hosea. But anyway, Mashal Shnei B'nei Adam She, Salu Pischem. Here's what we're looking for. Meaning, you read the Pasuk in Hosea that we just read, meaning that there's a derech, there's a manner in which, there's a path in which tzaddikim will walk in that path, and poshim and sinners will walk in that same path. So here's what we're looking for. Something, an action which can be both a benefit and also a liability. And it just depends on who you are and how you use it. And here we go. So the Gemara is going to take a couple of stabs at this. Number one, Shnei b'nei Adam shetzalu pischem, two people who roasted their carbon Pesach. Echad achlu l'shum mitzvah, ve'echad achlu l'shum achila gasa. One didn't stuff himself before, has got room left in the tank, and really enjoys the carbon Pesach. The other eats it while stuffed, and eats it in a state of achila gasa. Zesh achlu l'shum mitzvah tzadig miyachubam. So here you have the same mitzvah done by the same two people, but because one person ate it while still hungry, and the other person ate it while stuffed, so one's a tzaddik and the other is a posheya. Amalei Reish Lakish, Reish Lakish says, whoa, slow down. Rasha kari slay. Nehida lo ave mitzvah min emuvchar. Pesach mi lo ka'achal. Let's not call the person a rasha. Okay, so he didn't leave enough room for the karm Pesach. But you want to call him a posheya? So Ella. Mashal Shnei B'nei Adam, here we go, round two. So the Gemara says, we'll go say it like this. Zeh Ishtov Echoso Imo B'Bayis. Zeh Ishtov Echoso Imo B'Bayis. So one's living with his wife and his sister in one house, and the other person also living with his wife and sister in another house. Echon is Damno Ishto. Echon is Damno Echoso. Zeshin is Damno Ishto Tzadig Miyachubam. Zeshin is Damno Echoso. Poshim Yikashubam. So the one person is having relations with his wife. The other person is having relations with his sister, just simply not careful, to say the least. And the Gemara says, isn't this a good way of explaining the Pasuk? The Gemara says, it's not a good way to explain the Pasuk. Ana kamrin and chada derech, and v'hacha b'shnei derechim. No, that's not a good way of explaining the Pasuk, because we're looking at one derech. Meaning, in the example you just gave me, one's having relations with his wife, the other is having relations with his sister. That's not one derech, that's two derechim. So the Gemara says, Ella, Mashal, here we go, round three. Lelot ushtei benosav. We're talking now about Lot and his two daughters. So, Hain, shenizkavnu l'shem mitzvah. Now the daughters both had the best of intentions. They thought that the humanity come to an end. They thought that it was their responsibility to repopulate the earth. So therefore their act, albeit being an act of arayos, they had the best of intentions in doing so. And therefore, tzaddikim yachubam. Fascinating. The Gemara calls them, refers to them as tzaddikim. Who, shenizkav no shem avera, however, Lot, who only was interested in doing an avera, uposhim ikashlubam. This is a good example, as here we're having one action, but we're looking at it from the two different perspectives. From the doors, tzaddikim. From Lot, a poshea. The dimahu nami l'shem mitzvah hui mechav. The Gemara says, how do you know? Maybe he also is thinking about doing a mitzvah. I'm Rav Yochanan, call a pasuk gazel l'shem avera nemar. Rav Yochanan says, read the pasuk carefully and you will see that that's not so. Let's read the pasuk carefully. The pasuk says, vayisa Lot. Now, I'm sorry, before we do that, let's just, I'm looking at the pasuk inside. And you'll see every word in the pasuk is going to be encrypted. The Gemara doesn't quote the pasuk in one flow, so I'm just going to read the pasuk first. Vayisa Lot es eina vayar es kol kikar yardain ki chula mashke. In other words, after the destruction of Sodom, Lot raises his eyes, he lifts his eyes to see where he's going to go. And now, that's the pasuk. But now, let's read it carefully. Now, vayisa Lot, right? Step one, phrase number one. And the Gemara says, where else do we find the word vayisa? Vatisa eshes adonav es eina. And the Ashes Potiphar is also raising her eyes. So you see the connotation. Es Einav. The Gemara darshan that as well. Vayomer Shimshon Osa Kachli Hi Yishara Be'einai. She seems appropriate in my eyes. Meaning, once again, you see Es Einav, once again, is an allusion to looking carefully at doing an Avera. Vayar Osa Shchem Ben Chamor. Sorry, Vayar. Vayar Osa B'Shchem Ben Chamor. Once again, reading the pasuk carefully, comparing it to other psukim, you see how Shechem took a look at Dina. Es kol kikar hayardeim ki ba'ad isha zonah ad kikar lachem. The pasuk in Mishle, using the word kikar in reference to znus. So kikula mashke elcha charei ma'avayin esnanei lachmi me'mai tzamri u'pishti shamni v'shikuyai. Once again, you compare the pasuk to that in Hosea, you see that the word mashke could also be a reference to somebody who is looking towards performing a chet. So in other words, Lot was clearly intent on doing a chet by going and secluding himself with his daughters. V'hamenesan, the Gemara says, yeah, but didn't Lot get drunk? And wasn't he known? The Gemara answers, we know the Gemara's answer. Rashi brings it down in Chumash. Tana mishum Rabbi Yosi bar Rabbi Choni lama nakud avav uvkuma. Look in the Chumash, you'll see a dot on top of the word uvkuma, dots on top of the word uvkuma. Shal bechira lama lecha shebeshichva lo yada. Yes, it's true. When he lay down with her, he was so drunk he didn't know. However, when he got up, he was at that point in time sober enough to know what were to happen. So the Gemara says, okay, but that's after the fact. The Gemara says, yes, it's after the fact, but then there's the next night, and there's the next daughter. So yeah, he shouldn't have drank for the next night. And yet he did. So in other words, knowing what's going to happen, he still drank anyway. The Gemara says it's a condemnation of Lot. Darish Rava Mai Dichsiv, the Pasuk says, Ach Nifsha Mikiryas Oz Medyanim Kibriach Armon, the Pasuk in Mishle, which now the Gemara darshans, Ach Nifsha Mikiryas Oz Elot, Shepirsh Me Avraham. The word Ach over here, like a brother, meaning Lot and Avraham, even though, yes, they were uncle nephew, but in this context, they were like brothers. And he separated from his brothers. And the second half of the pasuk in Mishle, Umijanim kibriach amon, sheitil mijanim. Mijanim over here from the word mirivos, meaning quarreling. Ben Yisrael amon. He created a constant division, separation between him, Lot himself, and Avraham. How do I know that? Shenemar, the pasuk says, lo yavo amonim umoavi b'kal Hashem, because they can never marry into the Jewish people. Darosh Rav Avitem Rav Yitzchak Maidichtziv. The pasuk l'sa'ava yivakesh nifrad, b'chol toshia yitgala. The Gemara explains this pasuk in Mishle as well. So he's separated from Avraham, Lot, that is. B'chol toshia yitgala, and meanwhile he's going to be revealed. Meaning, the Gemara explains, shenitgala klona bebate kinesios, bebate medrashos, that he's going to be revealed both in the base medrash and both in the shuls and the base medrash. Did not. Meaning, because what's going to happen in the base medrash? We're going to all be learning Yevamos together. And when learning Yevamos, getting to Ayin Vav, we're going to be reading the Mishnah. Amoneh Moavi Asurin Isur Alam. That their prohibition is going to be prohibited forever. So, in other words, the learning that's going to be done is going to keep reminding us of the separation that Lo created, and the revelation that it's going to be, keep being said over in Bati Medrashim, La'ad Ula Olam, forever. Amr Ula is our stopping point. Tomorrow we start off with the words Amr Ula.